If someone were to come up to you on the street and just ask you, who is Jesus? How would you respond to that? Now, everybody in this room knows who Jesus is, I assume. But what would you tell someone who come up to you, not in a sarcastic way, but in an honest, wanting to know this way? Who is this Jesus? How would you respond? Would you go back to the beginning of Isaiah, on the Ethiopian eunuch, in his story? He began in the book of Isaiah, and Philip began there and preached to him Jesus. Is that where you would start? Or maybe you would start on the day of Pentecost, at the beginning of the church, and maybe tell some of the things that Peter said about him on that day. Maybe you would go back into the Old Testament again and talk about the prophecies that were of his coming and what the prophecy said that he would do when he got here. Or maybe you would go to the Gospels, talk a little about his life as the writers did, and talk about his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, his promise to come again. What do you really know about this man? Who he was, what he did? You know, we know that Jesus Christ was a very well-known historical figure. Secular history places him well within the history of the world. In fact, Jesus Christ, the name Jesus Christ, is by far the vast majority of popularity of names on the planet. And it still is. And for example, Time Life magazine in the year 2013 conducted a 100 public figure poll. Who was the most popular, the most recognizable name among people in the world? And Jesus Christ was listed as the number one recognized public figure in the world. Now, I know this poll is about 10 years old, but yet it still pretty much represents modern-day society as we know it. But Christ was overwhelmingly rated the number one recognizable figure 87% of the time whenever it was mentioned or the question was asked. And, you know, there are many names that was in this top 100. I'm going to share a few of them. Number 100 was John Locke. Does anybody know who John Locke is? I know you do, Ronnie. He was a political figure who basically began what we know today as the liberal politics movement. And number 86 was Michelangelo. We all know that name. Probably studied him in our literature classes and our art classes. My favorite artist is Vincent Van Gogh. He was number 73. John F. Kennedy, number 71. The Apostle Peter, number 65. King David, number 57. Thomas Edison was number 40. The Apostle Paul was number 34. Plato was number 25. Julius Caesar was number 15. Aristotle was number 8. And here's one for you. Number 7, Adolf Hitler. He left an impression on the world that we'll never forget. The top 5 was Abraham Lincoln, William Shakespeare, Muhammad, and I couldn't believe number 2. I wouldn't have thought this, Napoleon Bonaparte as number 2. I would not have thought that. But number 1 was Jesus Christ. And no, Elvis or the Beatles were not on the list. And neither was Coca-Cola. And everybody says, well, more people know Coca-Cola. And the Beatles made the statement themselves, we're more popular than Jesus Christ. Their names were not on the list. So those of us in our country are especially familiar with Jesus. Because since the beginning of the United States, Christianity has been the religion of the majority of the people. You know, some surveys suggest that at least half of the adult population in our country consider him their Lord and Master. Now, I want to read to you a letter, short letter, that was written about Jesus by one of the men on the 100 list. Matter of fact, he was number 32. See if you can figure out who this is before I finish the letter. It begins like this. Meaning no disrespect to the religious conviction of others, I still can't help wondering how we can explain away what to me is the greatest miracle of all, and which is recorded in history. No one denies that there was such a man, that he lived and that he was put to death by crucifixion. Where is this miracle I spoke of? Well, consider this and let your imagination translate this story into your own time, possibly into your own hometown. A young man whose father was a carpenter grows up working in his father's shop. One day he puts down his tools and walks out of his father's shop. He begins preaching on street corners and in the nearby countryside, walking from place to place, preaching all the while, even though he was not an ordained minister. He does this for 3 years. Then he is arrested, tried, and convicted. There is no court of appeal, so he is executed at age 33 along with two common thieves. Those in charge of his execution roll dice to see who gets his clothing, the only possessions that he has. His family cannot afford a burial place for him, so he is interred in a borrowed tomb. End of story? No. This uneducated, propertyless young man who left no written word for 2,000 years had a greater effect on the world than all of the rulers, kings, emperors, and all of the conquerors, generals and admirals, all of the scholars, scientists, and philosophers who have ever lived, all of them put together. How do we explain that unless he really was what he said he was? Signed, Ronald Reagan. Is Jesus who he says he is? Who does most people think that Jesus is? The fact is, most Americans believe and preach that he is the Christ, the Son of God. That he is a loving, healing, forgiving, gentle, caring, and patient Lord. This is taught from pulpit to pulpit in every division of Christianity in our country and throughout the world. And as a result, most people believe that Jesus indeed is God's Son. However, I want us to listen to the words of Jesus, and it might change your mind on what these people believe. Matthew 24, verse 5. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. We have preachers and teachers who are not deceiving the people by saying who he is, because he certainly is who he is. But they are deceiving the people by what Jesus did not, what they are not saying about Jesus. Who is this Jesus? Well, I want to look at some scriptures. Now again, most of us believe that Jesus is this loving, healing, forgiving, gentle, caring, patient Lord who wants to save the whole world. And that part is true. He is all of these things. And he does want to save the world. But listen to the following verses, and perhaps you might change your mind, or at least see Jesus in a little different light. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 through 39. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, this is coming from the loving, healing, forgiving, gentle, caring, patient Son of God. But this is not a loving, healing, forgiving, gentle, caring, patient statement, is it? This is a condemning statement. Well, let's move on. Matthew 7, beginning with verse 21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. King James says iniquity. And then we have this statement from Jesus, Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. This loving, healing, forgiving, gentle, caring, patient Lord is making it quite clear. Some of you aren't going to make it. One more. Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. This doesn't sound very loving or healing or forgiving or gentle or caring or patient, does it? And I can tell you, my friends, you can turn on the TV any day of the week really and hear me. You'll never hear Joel Osteen tell you anything like this. He leaves this part of Christ out of his teaching, and so does practically every other denominational public speaker. They tell you all the good things, the loving, the caring, the gentle, the healing, the forgiving Jesus. They tell you all of that, but they won't tell you these things. But these are the things that we need to hear. You see, we must accept all of the words of Jesus, and not just the things that we want to hear or the pretty words that come from his lips. Jesus said all these things and many more. But these are things you're not going to hear from today's modern preachers. You see, Jesus fully expects us to obey everything that he has taught, not just the good things. You know, the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 5 verse 9, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who what? Obey him. Yeah, this loving, healing, forgiving, gentle, caring, patient Lord has put conditions on his love, his healing, his forgiving, his caring, and his patience. To receive these things, there must be something on our part to be done. Obedience must be done. You know, excuse me, it's interesting to note that number 99 on the list that I gave you all ago, his name was John Calvin. This should be familiar with most of us in this room. John Calvin was a religious leader who basically tried to undo every verse that I just read to you. He came up with the ridiculous idea that when you're saved, that's it, you're saved. And you'll never be lost and can't do anything to be lost. I always answer that challenge with two verses of Scripture. First one found in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. It says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble. By this many become defiled. You know what the writer is saying here? He's saying the very same thing that these verses I just read from Jesus says. Some of you aren't going to make it. And he was talking to his followers when he said this. In Revelation chapter 3, he was talking to an entire church when he said this. The second verse I go to is 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves, Paul said, as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? indeed, unless you are disqualified. Now, understand again, he is talking to a Christian church when he wrote this letter. And he even reinforces this thought by using himself as an example of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. He said, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Now, I'm sure we know the understanding and the concept of being disqualified. When you are disqualified for something, it means that you have been refused. It means that you have been cast out. It means that you are no longer a part of something. You can't participate in it anymore. You can't be a part of it anymore. You are completely left out. So again, I ask the question, do we really know who Jesus is? Yes, he is loving. Yes, he is caring. Yes, he is forgiving. Yes, he is patient. He is kind. He is healing. All of these things. But only to those who will obey. So, he will tell you the bad with the good. And friends, we can't go through life pretending to be Christians, picking and choosing which of the words of Jesus we want to follow. We must follow them all. One last thing that Jesus told his disciples, this was before his betrayal. In John 12, verse 48, he said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." This means that we need to listen to everything that Jesus has to say to us in order to really know who he is. Today, my friends, Jesus is your Savior. Tomorrow, he will be your judge. If you are not a Christian, you need to give your life to him tonight. If you are a Christian who has walked away from God, you need to come back to him tonight. Understand who Jesus is and understand what he will do with you when this life is over. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.